following sermon was delivered at Mount St. Michael on Sunday, June 3, 1984, the feast of the Sunday within the octave of the Ascension, by Father Denis Philomena Marie, after a short introduction.
Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray, O God, who dost instruct the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Ghost. Grant us by the same Holy Ghost to be made truly wise and to ever rejoice in his consolations through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Saint Michael the Archangel, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen. Praise be Jesus Christ and Mary, Immaculate Queen, now and forever, Amen. The sermon this morning will be given before the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and we certainly hope that those who had need of the babysitting that is being provided have taken advantage of that opportunity so that this very important sermon is not disturbed. I don't know quite how to begin the short amount that we wish to say to you, except to point out that during the course of the last couple of weeks, there has been somewhat of a crisis, and perhaps I shouldn't say just somewhat of a crisis, but as a matter of fact, quite a severe crisis in Our Lady's community, which affects each of us. Now, I'm sure you are all aware of different crosses and contradictions in the course, especially of the past couple of years, which seem, with each passing day or week, to increase. A few examples would be the very erratic schedules pertaining to school, to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, people missing Holy Communion on Easter Sunday, people coming to the Mount and spending all day long on a Sunday and then not able to stay and missing Mass on that Sunday, etc. And of course, this concerns us as priests because, as all of the books in the priesthood point out, it is our duty and our obligation to provide these sacraments to the Catholic faithful. There are also a number of other problems which perhaps bring about these problems and so many others, but much of this came to a head, or has come to a head, in the course of the past 2 weeks, and I would like to tell you basically from my standpoint how it came about. It began 2 weeks ago tomorrow on Monday when one of the brothers at the priory was having some difficulties that would pertain to conscience and spoke to his spiritual director, who in turn came and spoke to Father Denis Philomena Marie, who is here at the Mount. And then the answer was conveyed by the superior at the priory back to the brother, who then followed that counsel. And as a result of following that counsel pertaining to a moral issue, a big problem arose. Well, a few days later, a brother from the priory was sent to the Mount. It was on Thursday, a week and a half ago, to interrogate Father Mary James and myself. And I use the word interrogation with choice because that is exactly what happened. This brother came in quite nervous, and also it happened at the same time that Father Denis Philomena Marie had been assigned to a Mass at the City of Mary, and then after that Mass was assigned to take communion to sick at the city in Coeur d'Alene and hear all the confessions of the nuns in Coeur d'Alene, which I had just got done doing the day before. And all seemed a little bit fishy or a little bit different, something strange, something was in the air, and we all sensed it. Well, when this brother came again and began to interrogate me, he again was quite nervous and started by saying that the bishop had been given some information and would like to know the stand of the priests with regard to a number of questions. And he proceeded to ask those questions, and I proceeded to give him answers. And then he stated that the bishop had been told that four of the priests have been plotting and planning to leave the community to join up with Archbishop Took and to start their own community. Now, you may or may not know of Archbishop Took, who rejects JP II, or at least did at one time. Now he's gone back to Vatican II, and started his own little group, which has had many offshoots, and he fell off the deep end in many different ways. But we thought this quite amusing and quite strange. The thought had never even entered our mind. We went to the other four priests, and they also laughed at the very thought of it, and again had no intention and not even the slightest thought of doing such a thing. So we proceeded to tell this brother that we wished to speak to His Excellency, that there were a number of problems that we felt as a priest a duty and an obligation to speak to the bishop about, and formally requested to do so. Well, we have been put off and still have not had that opportunity. Last week I stayed at the priory all week long. On one occasion, I was sent on Rogation Day on Wednesday to Mass at Mount St. Joseph's. The procession was canceled. I was called immediately back to the priory because the bishop was going to speak to me, and then again, that never happened. There are a number of problems, a number of reasons which caused this, but I would like to state one issue. Those who were in the community 2.5 years ago in January of 82 recall that after a religious, Frater Aloysius formerly, left the community right around Christmas time, matter of fact, happened to be the day after Christmas, there was quite a turmoil because of certain reasons why he left. And unfortunately, myself, being totally unaware of the problem at hand, was given a great deal of misleading information and to some degree was used. I came here and I spoke from this pulpit to the members of Our Lady's community, and I cautioned them about the danger at hand, and also, unfortunately, made some statements which I had been told, which concerned Father Dennis Philomena Marie, and to some degree gave the impression that he was very sick, that he had had some kind of a possible nervous breakdown and was very confused, etc. Well, the fact of the issue was that he had had no nervous breakdown, was not suffering any physical difficulties, and simply could not in conscience go along with a certain moral problem, which again was and is contrary to the teachings of the church, and made a point of that. And then again, I was brought in and given misleading information and went around to the members of Our Lady's community, and in Father's attempt to resolve the problem, to some degree was thwarted by what I had done. I am very sorry that that happened. I certainly acted in good faith, and I do apologize to you this morning for that which I did. Well, in the course of the past 2 years, I had become aware of the real problem, which again, up to that time, I was not at all aware of. And of course, have reached the obvious conclusion that the problem must be corrected. There are a number of problems, again, that all tie down to one or two basic problems. And basically, both Father Dennis Philomena Marie and I, in the past 2 weeks or week and a half, have been begging to speak to His Excellency and have not been permitted to do so. I dislike mentioning the fact, but it is a fact, that there are two or three brothers at the priory who, because of the bishop's physical condition of great illness, have a great deal of control over His Excellency and can influence his thoughts and his actions. And again, it's very unfortunate. And so we who are priests must go through these brothers and are not even allowed to talk to our bishop. This is a problem that has been going on for the past couple of years, and whenever we try to point out that erratic mass schedules, school problems, school cancellations cause a great deal of hardship and even to some degree spiritual harm to some of the members of Our Lady's community, then in turn we are accused of being totally disloyal to the bishop, disobedient, rebellious, and disrespectful. Well, this has been going on, and to some degree I'm sure you have maybe sensed or felt the problem. And again, we are in no way, I am sure all of you have heard many, many times, Father Dennis Philomena Marie, the Vicar General, and myself in the pulpit defend the bishop tooth and nail. We are in no way questioning the authority which the bishop has as a true bishop of the Catholic Church. We are concerned about a number of problems, again, one of which has to do with the fact that we are not even able to even talk to the bishop. And we have to go through brothers in between. And it's very unfortunate. And as a result, we can't even resolve some of the problems that lay people have and come to the priests about. So we are very concerned. And again, the issue, which began to be brought up 2.5 years ago, once again has arisen, and this time is going to be resolved. And rather than to continue and to say any more about the issue, other than that, again, I am sorry that I unfortunately was misled, and in turn misled to some degree members of Our Lady's community, and apologize for that fact. And again, rather than to say more, I would like to ask Father to come into the pulpit at this time and continue and finish this sermon and help you to understand the problem, and in turn, of course, ask for your prayers and your support that this can be resolved for the good of Holy Mother Church and all of the members of the Church.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Prayer to the Holy Ghost. O Holy Ghost, soul of my soul, I adore thee, I love thee, I praise thee, I thank thee. Enlighten, guide, strengthen, console me. Inspire me what I ought to do, and command me to do it. I promise to be submissive in everything that thou permittest to happen to me. Only show me thy holy will, and fill me with thy grace and thy love to refuse thee nothing, no matter how hard it may be. I abandon myself entirely to thee through Mary. Strengthen my will to carry out all my resolutions, and give me the grace of perseverance. Teach me how to pray. Grant me the grace to pray with unlimited confidence of being heard according to God's holy will. Give me true humility of heart. Increase and strengthen my faith in the real presence of Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Make me an ardent adorer and lover of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. Strengthen my love and confidence in our Blessed Mother. Holy Ghost, I offer thee the loving heart of Jesus to repair for all my offenses and negligences. I consecrate myself unreservedly to thee through Mary. I place all my trust in thee. Help me to make thee better known and loved throughout the world. Give me an intense zeal for souls to console Jesus. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Our Lady of Guadalupe, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Praise be Jesus Christ and Mary, Immaculate Queen, now and forever, amen. Be seated, please. We would like to begin by first of all thanking each and every one of you for your prayers and your generous response to the appeal that was made for Mount St. Michael's and the payment of Mount St. Michael's. That payment was made, thank God. And again, I thank you very much for your assistance in this regard. As Father Mary Benedict announced to you, and I don't want to use the word more often than it has to be used, but there are problems, and there have been problems, and it is necessary for them to be resolved. I remember making statements to some of the priests, probably all of them, and the brothers that had been involved in what we're going to discuss, and even to some of the laity. And I said, if I have to stand in the pulpit someday and make a public confession of all my sins in order to resolve the problem, I will not hesitate in the least to do so. We have always made the statement whenever anyone left the community, especially any priests or clerics, that as far as I'm concerned, that's the coward's way out. You do not resolve problems by running away. As I stand here and speak to you, I do so in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament. Many of you here have known us long enough, I hope, to believe that we have made an honest effort to be open with you, to be frank with you, to do whatever we could do, as weak as we may be, in spite of our faults and problems and sins, that we have been concerned with your souls and still are. That is the primary reason why I would be scared to death to resolve this problem by leaving, because I would have to stand before Almighty God on Judgment Day, and I would have to say that I betrayed each and every one of you, again, by putting the problem in your lap and going somewhere and hiding. And I'm not built that way. I can't do that. It is a very complicated situation, and I simply commend all of this to our Blessed Mother and hope and pray that she will speak through us without creating any unnecessary scandal. But if, in order for the truth to be known, that some degree of scandal must be brought about, then so be it. As far as I'm concerned, the scandal is already here. We are trying to resolve the scandal, to get rid of it, to resolve the problem. Again, for the past 2 weeks, I felt like Agent 007, having people spy on us and can't get in to see the bishop, having guards at his door. Again, talking to brothers who have very little formation theologically and discussing with them serious problems, to the point that we've had such an exodus of brothers and clerics from this community. I'm sure that some of you have figured out there must be something wrong. Hearing Boyd making comments that they would not want to come into the seminary because they're afraid of what would take place or what is taking place. I would like to, with the help of our Blessed Mother, restore the good name of Mount St. Michael's and restore the good name of the brothers and the clerics who are trying to live a life of chastity, of poverty, and obedience. And I assure you, it has been very, very difficult, in some cases almost impossible. There were two primary reasons that we had wanted to speak to His Excellency about. And when I finally realized, without any doubts whatsoever, that it would be impossible to get in to speak to him, then I spoke to those who were around him, three brothers in particular, knowing that they would tell him what I was telling them. We also took into our confidence, and we were quite shaky in doing it, several of the religious sisters, some of them who had been spending an awful lot of time with these three brothers. And again, figuring out probably better for him to hear what we want to talk to him about, at least through someone, so that word cannot go around that we made no effort, we made no attempt. Yesterday, I was supposed to leave for San Jose, California. Brother Athanasius Marie's mother passed away on Ascension Thursday. And I was notified on Ascension Thursday that the funeral was on Monday, but I was leaving on Friday. Or rather, I'm sorry, on Saturday for the funeral. And again, with all of the things that have been going on the past few weeks, I've to the point that I begin to doubt when we're told something or think something's going to happen. And I went to one of the brothers, whom I've spoken to probably 10 times over the past 2 weeks, and I said, if you pull a fast one when I'm gone, I'm coming back. And when I come back, if necessary, all hell's going to break loose. I am not about to have another nervous breakdown, quote unquote. We're not going to allow people to be told, again, that we have some kind of a mental problem. We will tell the people what we know is going on and let them make their choice, if that's the word to use. We have been hearing over the past few weeks from one of the brothers who made it a point to go to every brother in the priory that the priests were a bunch of Judases. They won't come to our face and tell us that. They have to go to the brothers. One of the brothers told Father Mary Benedict, and this has been the theme, that I have been very disrespectful to His Excellency. I have been very disobedient. And there's no way that I can be in a state of sanctifying grace. So I told Father, why don't you go tell Brother, or Father even told him before I did, tell him to come to me and tell me that to my face. So he did one day, and I asked him if he could read souls, if he had that gift to read souls. And I also said to him, I cannot remember, and I say this before Almighty God, I cannot remember one occasion during all of the years that I've known His Excellency, that I have knowingly and willfully ever disobeyed Him. I may have gotten messages goofed up, but I cannot remember one instant when I purposely, willfully disobeyed Him. Father Mary Benedict had mentioned to you that we have been making an effort to talk to His Excellency. So I think it was last Sunday, it was one of the days last week, when the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the schedule had been sent out, Father Mary Benedict was scheduled to go to the City of Mary. And again, we had been speaking and agreed that it was critical that we talk to the bishop. So we assumed permission to send Father Raphael Marie there to say that Mass, so that Father Mary Benedict and I would be able to go to the priory. I called up the priory, asked the brothers if the bishop was up, and they said yes. So we went over. And instead of going through the brothers, I just walked upstairs and went into the bishop's room. We greeted His Excellency, and I said the following words, Your Excellency, there are some real critical problems that have to be discussed. It's something that can't wait. It is serious. Please, could Father Mary Benedict and I talk to you? And he says, okay, fine. And I said, now? We'd like to do it right now while you're up. He says, well, Father Mary Benedict has Mass at the City of Mary. And I said, well, Your Excellency, we assume permission to send Father Raphael Marie in his place because this is something critical. And the bishop said to us, okay. So we were told to wait, and we did for about 8 hours. And the only thing I heard from the brothers after that 8 hours was that we did not have, we disobeyed His Excellency by not having Father Mary Benedict go to the City of Mary. For about 4 months now, we had permission to offer up every day 2 holy sacrifices of the Mass. One of them was offered up by us every day for His Excellency. About 3 weeks ago, when this problem came up with the mount and so far as the payment was concerned, I called up the bishop. One of the clerics was there by my side as I was talking to His Excellency, and I asked him if I could say 3 masses a day. 1 mass dressed in black for the poor souls in purgatory. It would not count for a Sunday mass, for instance, because it's not normally done where a priest would say mass dressed in black vestments on Sunday or major feasts, but we made it very clear that it would be a private mass, and the bishop gave me permission to do so. That Sunday that I was at the priory waiting to talk to the bishop, I said one of those masses, and I told the brother that served that mass, brother, this is not going to suffice for your Sunday obligation because it's supposed to be a private mass. While that Mass was being offered up, Another brother came downstairs and got Father Mary Benedict aside and pointed to us and said, "See, look, the disobedience, look, black vestments. Doesn't he know it's against the church law to say Mass in black vestments?" And then he talked about the disobedience with regard to Father Ray from Marie saying Mass at the City of Mary. And Father Mary Benedict began to talk to him, and he said again, "Why don't you go tell Father these things? Why go behind our back and all these accusations without coming to us, to our face?" So again, in the past few weeks, while we have been going to the Priory, physically being there at the Priory, not only calling up, we became aware of the fact that two of the brothers here at the Mount were all of a sudden called up and told to go to the Priory. And I found out later on, the next day, that they were guards that were being posted by the bishop's door with instructions to keep me out of the bishop's room. So anyway, it was becoming very obvious there was no point in talking to those brothers. So I started going over there and making comments in front of the brothers. I think I'll go buy a gas mask and get some kind of a gas bomb, and I'll throw it upstairs, and I'll sneak into the bishop's room, okay? Of course, they didn't like that at all. And again, they took this as some kind of disrespect. I said to one of the brothers, "Father Mary Benedict has been trying to talk to the bishop for 2 years. And brother says, "Why doesn't he offer it up?" And that's when we exploded. That's the term to use. And as I was raising my voice to brother, he says, "You're raising your voice, Father?" I says, "I know I'm raising my voice. We're sick and tired of this runaround. What's the problem? Something is drastically wrong." So anyway, as I mentioned earlier, when we were told we were going to San Jose, and I said to brother, "If you pull one when I'm gone, I'm coming back. I have nothing to hide. If you want to talk to me in front of all of the people in the community, I'd be very happy to do it. Anytime, any place." So we bought our tickets and didn't get on the plane because we thought something was going to happen. And it did last night. Secret meeting at the Mount, rather at the Priory. There were certain religious that were called out from the convent to go to the Priory when they were convinced there that we were in San Jose. And all of the sisters, except for those few, were at the City of Mary. I received a phone call from Father Mary Benedict, who told us what was going on. And he said, "I think it's happened, being brought to a head." And again, I'm not facetious when I say this. I think those superiors there were being told that we were having a severe problem again, supposedly. And Father Mary Benedict said, "All of the religious throughout the City of Mary, there's no way that we could have arranged that. It had to be Our Lady to arrange that." And I was, you know, hemming and hawing and say, "Well, supposing that's not what's really going on." Father Mary Benedict says, "Father, please come to the City of Mary and talk to the sisters." And I did last night. I have a tape of it. If any of you at any time ever want to listen to that tape, I'll get you copies and you can listen to it. And we may not have said to them in the same way that we're saying to you what we're talking about, but we were pretty thorough, while at the same time, I said to them, "I could come out with a lot more that would probably cause you to faint on the spot, but we're not going to do it. We're simply going to tell you to put it in Our Lady's hands and somehow resolve it." And here's what I said to the nuns. When the superiors or your superiors come back, or the sisters that were called there, you're really going to be put into a very, very touchy situation. I said, "I'm asking you to do this. Please give me an opportunity to talk to the people in the community. please, don't mess it up. I was told that when the ones that were at the Priory came home, they smelled a rat, that's the way to describe it, and they began to ask the nuns what was going on, and not one of them said anything. So they, at least for the time being, didn't say anything, so we'd have an opportunity to be here with you this morning. What I wanted to say to His Excellency was the following. First of all, his medical condition, and I'm sure that in general, at least, you're aware of the fact that the bishop's health is very, very bad, has been so for some time. We've been approached in that regard by someone for several years about someone to do something. Now, I'm choosing my words very carefully. I have spoken at length to medical consultants who are competent and fully aware of the bishop's complicated health problem. I have been assured that the bishop is very, very sick and could probably drop dead at any minute. And having that information, that's one of the things I wanted to discuss to the bishop. I know the bishop well enough to realize that if he were not as sick as he is, some of the things that are going on now would not be going on. We would not be waiting 2 months to celebrate feast days. We would not be waiting for weeks and months for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I've known him for 20 years. I've known him when his mind was clear. Last year on Corpus Christi, the bishop was so sick it could barely walk. And we took it upon ourselves to tell the brothers that were with him, there is no way he can be in that procession. He'll pass out with the Blessed Sacrament in his hand. And instead of their assisting us and helping us in that regard, they're over there trying to talk the bishop, forcing him to take part in the ceremonies. And while the Blessed Sacrament was being carried around in procession, we had to almost carry the bishop, literally, say the prayers ourselves in his ear so that he would repeat them. As far as I'm concerned, it was a scandal what had taken place. And when this happened before on several occasions, when the bishop appointed us as vicar general, I didn't even know what a vicar general was. What's that? All I was told was that if His Excellency is unable to be reached for whatever reason and a decision has to be made, that we would have the permission to make that decision. And instead of those brothers working with us, they've been working against us. And one day I went into the bishop's room. I said, Your Excellency, is Brother So-and-so the vicar general? And he said, no. And I said, do I have the right to make decisions if you're unavailable? He said, yes. I said, could you please tell him and to stop going around and questioning everything that we're doing? We give brothers permission for something, and this brother comes up and said, you shouldn't have done what Father said. So again, it was like a tug of war. But anyway, I was going to go to His Excellency and suggest, after having talked, again, I repeat, to medical consultants who know what they're talking about, the bishop hopefully would several brothers go somewhere and try to get himself straightened out physically. By that I mean with the sickness problem he has. And as far as the moral issue that is at hand, when his mind has cleared, we would discuss that moral issue, and we're not going to let it rest. And that's what I told the brothers. The three brothers that I spoke to were trying to tell me that what I know to be a sin is an effect almost like a virtue. And I told them, you're crazy. I don't believe it, I won't buy it, and I want to talk to the bishop about it. And again, I got nowhere. As Father Mary Benedict said, we are not in any way questioning the fact that the bishop is a bishop and that we are priests and that bishops have authority. But if it ever happens that a bishop or anyone in authority gets to the point where they are not functioning rationally, you don't just sit back and let this go on and let the community, the parish, or whatever, fall apart. And this is what's happening. And while this is taking place, these brothers are going around saying, the reason this is taking place is because of the disrespect on the part of the priests, the disobedience on the part of the priests, etc., etc., etc. On some occasions, we have gotten 3 telephone calls in regard to the same subject matter within 10 minutes, and each direction is different. You're told at night that there's no school. At 6 o'clock in the morning, you're told there is school. You're given a Mass schedule, and 10 minutes before Mass, you call up, and all the Masses are canceled. On Easter Sunday, we were 2 minutes away from calling up a Mass schedule ourselves because I could not justify no Masses being said on Easter Sunday. So at 3 o'clock, you're told that there's a 3:30 Mass. I went to Mount St. Joseph's, and there were 2 lay people there when I started Mass. When I was finished, there were about 100, and most of them had missed Mass, so we said a second Mass. It is a teaching of the Council of Trent that a priest has a moral obligation to see to it that the faithful are allowed to attend Holy Mass and to receive the sacraments. If you as lay people came to us as priests and demanded the sacraments, we would be committing a mortal sin if we would not give you the sacraments. I repeat, I know the mind of the bishop when he is thinking clearly. And I told those brothers, the 3 of them, one of them on the phone very loudly and severely, I said, as far as I'm concerned, you're all gutless, all 3 of you. You have placed yourselves in a situation where you know better than the doctor, you know better than all of the priests, and I said, if the bishop drops dead, you're going to be responsible for it. If more souls are lost and more vocations are lost, you're going to be responsible for it. They didn't like that. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care whether they like it or not. I'm going to answer to God, not to them. I don't know if you're aware of this fact or not, but Mount St. Michael's and all of the property in Our Lady's community is in my name. I didn't ask for it to be put in my name. It was done under obedience. Several days ago, one of the brothers at the priory said he overheard 2 or 3 brothers plotting and trying to figure out how they can get all of this property in their name. I'm not about to leave this Catholic community. If I have to sit here all alone in Mount St. Michael's, I'm going to do so. You paid for this property. This is your church. And with the help of God's grace, we're going to see that it remains your church. It does not fall into anyone else's hands. What goes on with the Sunday collections, I have no idea. Absolutely no idea. But the brothers do. Today's Sunday collection, we're going to keep. And we're going to put in a bank account. Because again, it is your money and it should be used for Holy Mother the Church. I am not in any way, and God is there as my witness. If I had a Bible, I'd put my hand on it. I am not in any way trying to usurp authority. I have no visions of grandeur. I am a priest and have a moral obligation to administer the sacraments. And as Father Mary James said, if as priests we cannot do whatever should be done to see to it that sin is not caused, why should we be priests?
Why should we be priests? I told the sisters last night, if you hear that I'm excommunicated or suspended, I want to know what for. The only thing we're doing is to stand up for the faith. We're trying to talk to our bishop. We're trying to see to it that sin is not committed. And it's more than simply saying, well, this is a sin. It is being taught that this sin is not a sin. Brothers are being deceived and seduced, as far as I'm concerned. And it's time that it comes to an end. And you're going to have to make a decision. Now, the first time I heard this from one of the brothers at the priory was telling someone else at the priory, you have to choose sides. What sides? I thought we were on the same side. I thought we were all here together trying to work for the greater glory and honor of God. What is this thing about sides? The bishop's side and my side. I don't understand that. I thought we were working together. But evidently, some people don't think we are.
These sermons Father Dennis Philemon Marie gave during the month of June, when he split with Bishop Francis Conrad Maria, will be continued on the next tape in this series, Who is Right and Who is Wrong. I am playing these tapes so that you can hear from others about the chaos, the confusion, the breaking of God's laws. A lot of the background, then it will make more sense possibly when I play the tapes that I made when I first left that community, which will be played later in this series, which is mostly just parables about the amusement park and many parables contained in that one tape. So as you listen to these, you're going to keep hearing repeatedly about the chaos, the confusion, the disorder, the breaking of God's laws. And then you will know more when you hear my other tapes